Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of Life is No Coincidence, The Life and Afterlife Connection, and as an energy healer medium and author of my next book, The Living Spirit. I am so happy to welcome Annie Kagan. It is my great pleasure to bring her to you. She is the author of The Afterlife of Billy Fingers, who will share her amazing story of downloading extraordinary and beautiful messages from her deceased brother, Billy. Hello, Annie, and welcome.
Hi, I'm so glad to be here with you, Cheryl.
Well, you know, Annie, many former guests of Healing From Within and I share through our experiences of spiritual communication, near-death experiences, and an understanding of the energetic force of life are a thoughtful awareness. Life is more than physical, and consciousness survives physical death. I hope today your story may go far in helping skeptics to get off the fence, if they wish, it is their choice, and approach their spiritual life with honesty and love. Mm-hmm. That is a thing that could bring much peace and joy into their life and help to resolve many of the fears that they may have. So, Annie, you have some interesting early life experiences, and right from the start, you connected to creative energies and ultimately, I believe this helped you with communication with spirit. Can you tell us something of your early life?
Yes, and actually this is something that I didn't understand, so it was explained to me by an early researcher in this field that actually my whole life I've been working with energy, because when I was very little, I started to write music. Mm-hmm. And so music is really invisible and it's vibrational. And then I became a chiropractor and I was working not with the usual kind of chiropractic, but a lot of sacral occipital technique and different subtle energy forms of chiropractic. Then I went back to music. So I've always been really working with the vibrational fields, you could say. And yeah. I think, yeah, and then, you know, learning to meditate was the next important step. And I think all that kind of led me to write this book, to be open to, able to, unbelievably hear my brother speaking to me from another dimension.
Well, you really have masterfully combined your talents as a lyricist, performer, and healer to share and awaken others to the mysteries of your brother's journey and the communication that followed with you. And when people read your book, they will see that all your talents merged together to be able to write this book with help from spirit. As your music, you were downloading as a young person. Much inspiration,
yes.
Because none of us do any of this alone. We're all inspired, and we all have guides or teachers working with us from that higher dimension. And when you start to feel it around you, as you did, I'm sure, when you worked as a chiropractor, and I do as an energy practitioner, it's a great comfort to know we're never alone and that there's so much love and wisdom for us to take part in. Now, in the book, you use the term after-death communication. Now, this is different than a near-death experience. Can you tell us how and when your brother Billy began a dialogue with you and some of the beautiful ideas he expressed to you about his life and his death?
Yes. Well, the difference between an after-death communication and a near-death experience, the after-death communication really begins where the near-death leaves off. So in a near-death experience, the person almost dies, comes back to their body, and reports what they remember. They're not in the experience anymore. But an after-death communication is information you're getting directly from the other side. And what's really interesting to me when I started to research this was something that I learned from Joseph Campbell, which was, and I love this, and this is great for the skeptics, he says that worldwide that people have always believed in an afterlife. And if you look at any culture, there's a belief there. Now, near-death experiences are really a product much more of modern times because we have the means to revive people.
Mm-hmm.
But, right? But,
yes.
But in ancient times, they didn't have those medical miracles. So really, they learned about the afterlife through after-death communications. And they really believed, and many cultures still believe, not ours. Ours is pretty close to it.
I think there's a great opening now.
I agree.
I think we're in the middle of a spiritual evolution or revolution, whichever one we call it, and people are starting to observe members, friends, members of their family, like us, who are passionate about what we have learned and so willing to share it without fear of being thought of as odd. I mean, we're bright, articulate, well-educated people, and we've been very productive in our lives, so we are being taken seriously. Now, I'd like to read something that you wrote about Billy's first dialogue with you. It was your birthday.
Yes.
You were sleeping. And it had not been too long since he passed, and you awoke to Billy calling you, and you recognized that you wrote this, his unmistakable, deep, mellow voice. You thought, of course, you were dreaming, but Billy said, "Get the red journal I got you for your last birthday." And he began to tell you the place he found himself in after the accident. And I need to read this because I need to say something after this. So I'm going to read exactly what you wrote. "The first thing that happens is bliss. At least it was like that in my case. I don't know if it's that way for everyone who dies. As the car hit me, this energy came and sucked me right out of my body into a higher realm, a feeling of rising up, and all pain was gone. I knew right away I was dead and went with it more than ready for whatever was waiting. I just felt light and was brought up inside a chamber of silvery blue lights. Not a tunnel, but a chamber. Wherever I looked, there was light. I still felt like I had my body, and my body felt better and better. Not just the wounds from the accident, but all harm I suffered during my life was erased. Physical, mental, emotional, or otherwise. Soon Daddy appeared, young and smiling as ever. Daddy was there for a while, but not the main event. The main event was the silvery lights and their party atmosphere. Welcome home, son. This chamber was some kind of birthing canal that delivered me into this new life, into the glorious universe. I also felt beings around me, higher beings, more than one, a celestial crew, it seems. Don't be sad. Death isn't as serious as you think. Saying goodbye isn't as serious either, because we will meet again." And I remember as a medium, I was called to do a reading for a student of mine, and her son, a 19-year-old boy, had died in a motorcycle accident.
Mm.
And it was that night, the night of his passing, that I did this reading, and he actually expressed very much what your brother just said to you. I saw it. I felt it. It was as he lifted out of his body. He wasn't aware of the pain, and he was met by these beings and energy and light. And even though he knew he didn't want to leave his girlfriend and his mother, family, he knew he had to go because it was so beautiful what was calling to him. So the description your brother gave was very on target and so beautiful, the way you described it and the way he said it to you.
Yes, and I think that the fact that in near-death experiences and experiences like you have when you're being a medium,
mm-hmm.
and after-death communications, over and over, people express the incredibly beautiful atmosphere of the other realm,
yes,
and how healing and soothing it is. And I think that that's so important for us, and especially when somebody loses a loved one or when someone's preparing to die,
a
young person in a tragic way. You know, I need,
well,
for me,
your brother died suddenly too in an accident.
He did, and I think that was one of the things that was very difficult for me, because you're always thinking, oh my God, it must have been so painful.
But it wasn't.
But it wasn't, and you know, I was really, really pretty dysfunctional in the weeks following his death. I was in
yes.
so much grief, and as soon as he started to speak to me, the atmosphere of his realm came along with his voice, and I was just completely comforted, and
that's,
it just changed
yeah.
my whole experience.
That's how I feel when I meditate and I get messages from spirit. I feel in a state of calm and peace and love, and I can hold it for quite a long time over the years as I, you know, it's like anything else, practice and a dedication to it, and loving what you're doing make all the difference. But on the second visit, it was a little different. Billy expressed the nature of life on Earth as harsh, and he said that's how it's supposed to be, not punishment for past transgressions. It's not about sin either. A lot of the belief systems or religious systems would have us think that. But tell us about the pain people feel. And one of the main reasons we need, what we need to do while we are alive, what is this life about? I know you describe it in the book, and I agree wholeheartedly with you.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
can you tell us
sure,
what
my
it
pleasure.
Is we're supposed to do?
Well, one of the things that you know, at this point I have, like, the book has like 55,000 people on Facebook since the beginning of the year, and you have to ask yourself why. And one of the things that I think is very different about this book, and one of the things that we haven't mentioned yet, is that, you know, Billy had problems, a lot of problems all throughout his life. He wasn't a lawyer. He wasn't, you know, a politician. He wasn't like a high member of society. He was someone who was a drug addict, who had problems. And his words from the other side, I would say they're very realistic in a way that people really appreciate. He's not bringing this message that life is all just so wonderful and glorious. He's more telling it like it is. Like, you know, life is hard, and that doesn't mean, this is, I love this. It's like, life is hard, but that doesn't mean you've done something wrong to deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
Now that is such a comfort. I can't tell you how many letters I get from people. So, for example, and I was a chiropractor, so I understand this as well. Sometimes, especially with the way people think about, you know, you take responsibility for every single thing that happens to you. Well, you know, to say that you're like somehow consciously creating all your diseases can make people feel really badly sometimes. And I think that Billy kind of tries to bust that. And you know, I get letters from people, like one person, like, well, I have rheumatoid arthritis, and I have felt so guilty about it, like somehow I'm creating it. And, like, Billy freed me. Like, I don't have this as a punishment. It could be something I'm learning from. It could be a path I decided to explore, but it doesn't mean that I'm so-called bad, right?
Well, my own personal take on this is that we have chosen our life before we come here.
Mm-hmm.
We have a soul need to forget when we're born, and then along the way to remember the things we forgot and try to share our soul energy and love with others, because we want to be seen and we want to be known and we want to remember. So I think many of the challenges that we face, whether it's an illness, whether it's a loss of a loved one at an early age, whether it's a loss of a job or a husband, has been included as an experience that our soul wants to experience so we can rise up to a higher level of compassion. And I think Billy did express that, and you did show that in the book, that we all want to be loved and love in return and to be known. And this is our soul essence, not our mind or our ego, physical world, because a lot of that is illusion. And I did think you brought that out very nicely. And you also said that when Billy was speaking with you, you understood everything, but after his voice faded, you couldn't remember a single thing. Why do you think that was?
Yes, that was a very interesting experience, especially at the beginning, because, of course, at the beginning I was very skeptical that this experience was real. I thought that maybe I was creating it for my grief, you know, so I wanted to be like really sharp when he spoke to me, so I could be have my all my critical faculties in place and be very scientific, you know. But then as soon as he started to talk to me, that blissful feeling would take over and I would just be swooped up into the energy of the other side, and then he would leave and I would go,
What just happened?
What did he say? I was just so happy and so blissful. Wait a minute, I was going to be scientific and hold on to myself and be very rational. Let me read this and see what
I have to say something here, because we're going back to vibration. Now, for spirit to get through to us when we're in a physical body, they have to lower their vibration. And we as humans have to raise ours to somehow meet in the middle. And when I was first studying many years ago with mediums, and they would say, raise your vibration. I said, do I need a hula hoop? Do I have to start shaking it around to get to do? I had no idea what they were talking about. But over the years, I've learned that our vibration is, it means to lose our fear. It means to lose, you know, the power of our physical life to hold us in one spot and to go with creativity up to that lovely, hopeful feeling of enthusiasm for life and for spirit who are joining with us, never very far away, but around us, and to just lift ourselves out of the problems of our everyday life so that we can be on a higher vibration as they are where they are. So I liked what I read, what you said, because at the beginning I couldn't remember anything, so I would write it down. I'd be in meditation, I'd have a pen and I was writing, and then afterwards I wouldn't look at it again until I was with the person I was reading. And then every feeling would come back to me. I'd remember everything when I could do it, you know, read it to someone, but otherwise, right afterwards, no, I couldn't. I was in that energy also.
Right, so you can relate, yeah.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, matter, the world of matter, we're in the world of matter, is a slower form of energy. In the other realm, everything is vibrational energy. There is no matter. So we're slower, we're denser.
Absolutely.
And sometimes, you know, I say to Billy, you know, like, why is this or that so hard? He says, oh, it's just gravity, you know, it's just the nature of life on Earth, because life on Earth has the shadow element. It's just the way it is. Where there's light on Earth, there's also shadow. And I think that that's one of the things that I've learned the most from my communications with Billy, is before I was always waiting for life to be whatever my idea of perfect was. Then I could be happy. If it was a beautiful, wonderful afternoon and da-da-da, then I could be happy. But I've really learned to accept what I call the shadow part of things. And I enjoy life so much more because I accept the nature of life on earth and the hardship more. And also I really love when he says, you know, actually you'll never fully understand it until you're on the other side. So I live the mystery a little bit more, and I also realize that I don't have to pretend that I like it when things are difficult. You know, when they're difficult,
no.
They're difficult.
We don't have to like it, but we have to go through it, and we have to know the feelings. And you know what? Knowing the shadow side and knowing the light side lets us know that everything has balance, and we couldn't find the true meaning of life here or beyond when we get there, because there'll always be change. Change is happening. That's the pattern on Earth, but it's also the pattern beyond here. Now, you mention Dr. Raymond Moody, who has been a guest on this show. He's the foremost authority on near-death experiences, and he wrote about walkers between the world. Now, the average American may find your narrative of these otherworldly adventures with your brother hard to believe. But Greek philosophers long, long ago and other cultures in the world who founded Western thought knew full well about these walkers between the world. Can you tell us something about them?
Yes, this is so wonderful because Dr. Moody, who is probably one of the most generous people in the universe, you know, he was doing research on this thing that he called shared death experiences. And I wrote to him, I said, Dr. Moody, you know, they usually last when you're by the bedside, so it's a couple of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I've been having one that's lasted years and years. So he agreed to talk to me, and he read the manuscript, and he said, guess what? You're not alone. And this relates back to what I was saying about the near-death experience being a more modern thing. He said, you know, the Greeks did this all the time. They would go and visit, you know, the philosophers, they would go visit the next dimension. They would report on what's happening on Earth. They would bring back information. So he said, so don't feel alone, Annie. You're just a walker between the world. You and Billy are walking between the worlds. And so he graciously offered to, accepted my invitation to write the preface to the book. And I did. I felt like, oh, I'm in good company.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And you know, you also wrote in the book, he wrote in the foreword of the book, these walkers were mediators, intermediaries, and messengers, much like intuitive healers, mediums, and people who just simply have dreams at night when the soul lifts up and their vibration takes them to these other dimensions and they meet up with loved ones or people they may not even know in this life who are part of their evolution and teaching them. So when I was first starting in this work, I was told I had my feet in two worlds. And I had no idea. It's taken me a long time to figure it out. And Dr. Moody had spoken to me, but not about this term. He actually described it another way. He said, Socrates, Cheryl, you're doing the work of Socrates and Plato. You're searching for the soul dimension and how it relates to the physical world.
Exactly, so exactly.
This is similar.
And actually, I think one of the reasons that it became less popular is because when you do this kind of thing or believe in it or do it like you do, Cheryl, you don't need an intermediary anymore. You don't need a religious figure to be in between you and the divine. You're able to have a direct experience. And so therefore it became a little bit, you know, when religion got stronger, and I have nothing against religion, this is just a historic fact, they wanted to be the intermediary between the divine and the person. So therefore having direct experiences was somewhat frowned upon, and it got really bad, you know, the height of it were the witch hunts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they put a lot of fear in people about having these kind of experiences, and that's why people are afraid of it. But actually, it's the opposite of fear. You experience extreme awe, and you get wonderful information, and light comes from other dimensions.
And you get healing also.
And
your
you get healing
on,
there.
On many levels. But the point being, that is the purpose of my work, and it will be in my new book, that everybody can make this connection with a little discipline and effort to this higher dimension. And I think that's where we're going as we're evolving. We're going sort of backwards to go forwards, because in ancient cultures, many people were able to be connected to a higher spirit, and they were healthier as a result. And in our technological age right now, we have lost a lot of the freedom of our spirit, and our soul may be floundering in between the physical world and the spiritual world. So I say that we can all do this, and you're right. Religious practices and beliefs have taken us away from that natural state. And I think more people are crying out for this now. They want to be able to know things personally and
yeah.
intuitively. And intuition is the way to guide us through this world.
Now,
a lot of the mystical
schools of religion have preserved that.
Absolutely.
You know, the mystical schools. But, yes, I think that there's a lot more people having these kind of experiences, but you would be surprised at how many people write to me and tell me they have this experience, you know, and it could be like a mother whose son died, and she feels the son's presence, and the son is giving her signs, and the people around poo-poo it. Even in this day and age.
Well,
like,
I tell people it doesn't
yeah.
matter if you know the truth. There are other people who will. And it really doesn't matter what's coming from outside. It's from what's coming from within ourselves that is the way towards our being healthy and to fulfilling our destiny as souls, having a physical life. And we all come here for a different purpose, but we're all necessary in the whole plan of existence and where we're going with this. So I want to thank you, Annie Kagan, for sharing the beauty and mystery of your connection to your brother Billy in life and in spirit, and for delivering messages of the secret of life as discovered in this intimate and personal dialogue with your brother in spirit. As a medium and author, it has been my desire, as I believe it is your desire, to share the proof of eternal source and our energetic or soul being by documenting the values of a physical and spiritual existence. I highly recommend your book, The Afterlife of Billy Fingers, to all our listeners today, as it is not only your brother's description of the universe and eternal soul life, but like the accounts of those who have had near-death experiences and also mediums and intuitives such as myself who have sought to find the answers to the mysteries of life, universe, source, and the sparks of the divine that are each soul's unique connection to spirit. So please go to afterlifeofbillyfingers.com. for more information and to purchase this soulful description of afterlife or heaven from the very soul of William, Annie's brother. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to go to my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear leaders in the field of science, spirituality, energy medicine, psychology, religion, and the arts, and to discover your own personal means to evaluate and thrive in the expansion of your own soul and physical life. Thank you.